Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until He takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. And joining me today is number zero on the football field. He is wide receiver and Southern California native, not to mention the man with the golden smile. He is Cody Epps. You do have a good smile. You know that, right?
Thank you. That was the best intro that I've ever gotten. Thank you so much.
Well, you always seem to have this positivity around you. Have you always been like that?
Yes, for the most part. My whole life I've kind of been like that. And I was just laughing with Jacob Robinson the other day because he doesn't talk that much.
Yeah.
And I was saying sometimes I wish I was like him and I didn't talk so much, because when you're like positive all the time and people see you as positive and bring positivity, the days where I want to just chill and I want to just be in my own zone, I kind of don't want to talk that much, I kind of don't want to smile, I feel bad because people kind of expect
you've it. Set the precedent.
Yes, so it's kind of hard for me, but yeah, for the most part I always try to bring positivity and always try to have a good perspective on life and be happy.
I do want to ask you about the number, because I mentioned zero. Mm-hmm. You were four in high school, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so why zero at BYU?
So when I came in, Lopini Katoa had number four. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to get that because he ended up staying the past 3 years that
right.
I've been here. Because
yep.
I think when I came in as a freshman, there was a possibility that that would have been his last season. And then the next season, it was also the possibility of that being his last season. And then he came back. And when I came in, I just wanted to have a pretty cool number. You know, I wanted to have a sweet number with some significance. So I remember calling Coach Fessy like, every single night contemplating whether I should get number seven or number zero. I will call this dude at like 11 o'clock at night. This dude's like, dude, just pick your number. Like, I don't care whatever number it is. So I ended up sticking with zero just because it was the year that they allowed zero to be the first. So I take pride. Jacob Robinson wears number zero well. I'm happy that I'm companions with him wearing the number, but I take pride in being the first ever at BYU to wear number zero.
So now you said that you – the significance of seven or zero, what would have been the significance of seven?
So when I was younger, I played on an all-star football team, and I wore number seven, and I had a pretty good run with that number. So, I mean, it would have been cool to stick around with that number, too, just because it's a lucky number seven.
That's right.
So, I mean, either one of those would have been a blessing.
But it's kind of cool to be the first, though, to wear zero, right?
Yes, for sure.
That's very cool.
For sure.
All right, take me into the life of a young Cody Epps growing up in Southern California. What are your memories of growing up?
I've been a very busy child since a very young age. Like, my childhood was sped up pretty rapidly just because I was the kid that was always traveling. Mm-hmm. So I was a kid that in kindergarten, I was already bringing an extra bag of clothes, either for football practice, for basketball practice, for soccer, or if my dad was coming to pick me up from school, I had to have an extra bag of clothes. So I was always a kid that, even since a young age, since 6, 7, I've always kind of had to have a schedule in my head on when I would get things done and have to have make a conscientious effort of having extra baggage and luggage and stuff. So, but for the most part, I was just having fun playing sports, but also on a regiment, getting things done since a very young age.
Where did the love of sports come from? Were your parents athletes, siblings athletes? Why were you so involved in sports so young?
So, like my dad played sports a lot. He was heavy into football and basketball. And then my mom was a ballerina, and she taught ballet. So, extracurricular activities were just innately in me since a very young age. But also, you know, coming from Los Angeles, there's not too many things that, if you're not involved in extracurricular activities, let's just say, the devil loves an idle mind and an idle child. So there's a lot of negativity running around. There's a lot of not so positive things that children can get into at a very young age. So I think sports is such a influential thing to implement kids into since a very young age, especially in a city like Los Angeles, where there's positivity, there's teamwork, you work through adversity, you figure out how to work your way up a depth chart, you just find fun within your sport. So I think those two things are, you know, why I'm so heavily into sports since a very young age.
In terms of siblings, where do you fall in your family in terms of kids?
So I'm the oldest. So I have two younger siblings. I'm the oldest. I have a younger brother that's 12 and then a younger sister, Bryce, that's 5.
So now do you see sports in their future? Is there currently sports in their present?
Yes. So my younger sister does ballet.
Okay.
And then my younger brother, I don't want him to play football just because I want to be kind of the test dummy for football. But I really want my younger brother to play golf and play baseball. So That's what I'm trying to push my dad to put him into right now.
Okay, so you obviously chose football, but what else did you play growing up? And why gravitate towards the football side of things?
So funny thing, I hated football growing up. I hated it. It was my least favorite sport of all the sports I played. So I played soccer, baseball, basketball, and football. And I hated football just because my dad was so hard on me when it came to football. Like, I was doing, by the time I was able to walk, no joke, like my mom, my dad, anybody, my aunts, my dad's friends, everybody that ever knew me at a very young age will tell you this. By the time I was able to walk, my dad was already doing cone drills and ladder drills with me and catching.
Wow.
Like, I wasn't the kid that just, you know, the dad tosses the ball, like soft toss. No, we're talking like full on catching passes, running routes since I was about 5-6 years old.
Wow.
So it was pretty frustrating just because all the other kids got to have fun. Like when basketball season came around, when baseball season came around, they got to indulge in all those sports and kind of have fun and make friends. I got to do those sports, but it was more of a like, those sports were an extracurricular to the football.
Right.
Like football was the main thing and everything else was like a supplement just to sign up for, I guess. So it was pretty rough for me.
Okay, so with that as the backdrop then, why football?
So yeah, sorry, I forgot about that. So I guess when you've done it for so long and also God has blessed you with an amazing gift to be able to play this football game, and God has blessed you to have an amazing, you know, path that I've continuously been on since a very young age. Something that my uncle told me one time when I got super frustrated, probably like my 8th or 9th grade year, was God gives us a gift and we use that gift until he takes it away. You don't tell God when you want to stop using that gift. So with that being said, just everything that was going on in my life, just being able to make plays and being able to connect with people through football and the like, I got tuition paid for because of football.
Right. Yeah.
I'm able to connect with people because of football. I'm able to be more than just a football player, even with football, as I am here at BYU. So it's like, why not football? It's kind of the mindset.
You ended up going to a legendary high school in modern day. There are people that maybe don't follow it as closely that have heard of modern day high school in California. How did you end up there?
Coming out of 8th grade, I was kind of recruited heavily coming out of Pop Warner football by a bunch of high schools in California. And I went to a modern day football camp one day. And I remember Coach Bruce Rawlinson, the legendary head coach, Coach Bruce Rawlinson. He comes up to me and he stares at me and he says, I can see it in your eye that you're a monarch. And like that dude is like the greatest high school football coach to ever walk the earth. Like there's people on the East Coast, the South, the Midwest that know who Bruce Rawlinson is and knows his stardom and his power. And that coming from him is like, oh yeah, it's a done deal. Like, let's make this work.
That's
let's
all
figure
you
it
need
out.
To hear.
That's all I need to hear. So luckily we put some things together to make it work so I could commute to school.
So you caught 93 footballs for 1,735 yards and 28 touchdowns your senior year.
Yep.
Take me through, I mean, those numbers are insane.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through your high school experience because you did a lot of winning at the highest level.
Yep. It's kind of, man, I was sitting back. So QB1, the thing on the high school quarterbacks, just came out on Tubi. Yep. And I was watching it laughing at my younger self and Bryce Young.
Yep.
And I was watching a couple things. It's kind of a blur, man. Like, when you look back on high school, they say, like, college is your greatest moments on to ever live. I think high school is such a blur because it's just freedom.
Right.
Like, at modern day, we're playing top caliber football, but we're still high school kids. Like, we still talk about stupid topics. We still, like, you still can make little silly mistakes of a 16, 17-year-old.
Yeah.
So I think playing football was just that year, my senior year, I wasn't thinking about anything. Like, football, I was just playing. I wasn't thinking about how many touchdowns I'm going to have, how many catches I'm going to have. None of that mattered. I was just having fun with my teammates. I was just having fun going to school every day, making jokes in the class. Like, and luckily, like I talked about, God blessing me to be able to have, you know, no distractions when it came to football, that it made it so much easier so that when it was time to catch a football, it was like second nature. So all those stats are just accumulative of me just not caring too much about anything other than just having fun and living life.
Well, you referenced him. Bryce Young, mm-hmm, played at Alabama, won the Heisman recently, the number one pick in the NFL draft. That was your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe the relationship you have with him both then and now?
Pretty similar. Pretty similar. So he's like, we're really, really good friends, but we're not the friends that talk every single day.
Mm-hmm.
We're the friends that we're going to check in on each other, make sure that we're doing pretty good on our paths, and we're always going to be there for each other, whether we're up or we're down. And when it comes time for when he gets big accolades or when I get back big accolades, he always calls me, texts me, make sure he's cheering me on, and I'm doing the same for him. So it's kind of the same, just because in high school, we're playing together, obviously, so we're around each other a lot. But typically, always the best friends that I have aren't the football players. I'm typically friends with the dudes in my classes that I joke around with or stuff like that, like the random kids that nobody sees. But same. So, yeah, to answer your question, he's really good friends, same as then and same as now. Just making sure we're always in each other's lives, staying focused and stuff like that.
I referenced it a minute ago. You guys did a lot of winning at a very high level in high school. Is there a pinnacle moment for you when you look back on your high school career?
Yeah, it's a couple.
You got a big smile on your face.
Yeah,
you're reliving those moments right now,
yes,
aren't you?
I know. I think we flew into Washington, D.C., and we played St. John's, Sojay Maiava's, mm-hmm, high school team. He was amazing in high school. And I met some people with some status out there. I can't even remember the dudes that I got to meet. Like, I met some dudes that are probably in the White House getting stuff done right now.
Right.
And going into that game, they're a highly touted team. We're a highly touted team. I go in there and I score two touchdowns. And going into halftime, we're down by 1 point. It's 20-21. We got the best motivational speech ever. We got cursed out so bad for being down by 1 point. This shows you how, like,
yeah, the expectations are super high.
Yes. We were down by 1 point.
Yeah.
And, like, we came out, and I don't think they scored again. The game ended up being, like, 53-21 or something like that. So that's one. Playing against our rival, St. John Bosco, I think I had three touchdowns against them. That was, like, a super huge game because I don't like those dudes too much. They don't like us too much. And then I had, in the playoffs, first two runs of the playoffs, I had five touchdowns in each of those games. And one of the games, my uncle texted me. I didn't even know what I did. My uncle texted me like, dude, you had almost 500 yards in one game.
And it was all a blur to you.
It was all a blur. Like, no joke,
you have no memories of it?
I have memories, of course. Like, I remember the plays happening, but like,
they talk about being in the zone.
You were
fully in the zone.
Fully in the zone. Like, I wasn't once I scored a touchdown, it was give the ball to the ref, have a little fun, but like, next play, like, and then go celebrate with my teammates. But like, I was so locked in.
So because of the moments we were just talking about and the numbers that you put up, when you do that, in high school in general, you're going to get noticed. When you do that at a place like Modern Day, you're certainly going to get noticed.
Yep.
And you did. You had a lot of schools coming after you, Oregon, Arizona State, USC, I'm sure a lot of others that we haven't even mentioned. When did BYU come into the picture?
BYU was in the picture as soon as they offered me, because all those schools would like send mail, but none of them like offered officially. So, and then I talked to a bunch of those coaches. Like, I think one time it was random. I think Coach Gundy, not Gundy at Oklahoma State, Coach Mike Gundy at Oklahoma, that was a tight end coach with Lincoln Riley.
Okay.
He asked Bryce, like, to send a picture of me and Bryce standing next to each other to see our heights. Like, it was just random stuff happening like that all the time. And I remember wide receiver coach from Washington State came up to me and, like, he grabbed my arm and, like, checked my height. And he was like, I don't know. He looks like he doesn't have enough weight or something like that. And then I took a visit up there, and they told me to come up there, and they didn't even have a name tag for me. So it was like,
yeah, that's how you recruit a player.
Yeah. So once BYU came on board, it's like, oh, this makes sense. Because they were fully on board. All hands on deck. I was getting texts from the D-line coach.
Really?
Like, yeah.
That's how, like, bad they wanted you in Provo. Yeah. Well, it obviously worked.
Yeah, yeah, facts. So, as soon as Coach A-Rod called me, it was like, I think BYU's the move.
All right, we're going to get into that more after this break. We'll take a quick break. This is Deep Blue on BYU Radio. Welcome back. This is Deep Blue. Jason Shepherd with you, and so happy to be talking with BYU receiver Cody Epps. And before the break, we were talking about when BYU came into the picture, and you said as soon as they came into the picture, they were in serious contention. They wanted you. How much did you know about BYU, or what did you know about BYU? And when all of a sudden the Cougars are knocking at your door and, you know, probably texting you all the time wanting you to come to Provo.
Yeah. So, obviously, Jimmer Fredette.
Yep. I remember everybody loves the Jimmer.
I remember being, like, 14 or 15 years old, and I was like, this white dude has a jumper. Like, a jumper. Like, this dude was pulling up from, like, half court.
Against the Utes, which made it even sweeter.
Dude, like, I think that was the one. That was when, like, when everything came full circle, it was like, oh, that's the school Jimmer Fredette was at. And then, so, in L.A., you know, missionaries come through.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to be like, who are these weirdos that keep riding past on these bikes asking us? Like, we're in the yard playing football. Like, who are these dudes that keep asking us, do we know about this book or something like that? So, those are the two things that I kind of knew about BYU, but other than that, I didn't know anything else.
Because you know that they're a religious school. Was there any trepidation? Was there any concern? Well, like, wait a minute, I'm not a member of their church. Why would I? Was there any of that back and forth?
So, and then, okay, three. So, my cousin, Dylan Flowers, that's on the football team right now, he lived in Thousand Oaks at the time, which is a big LDS
community
out there. So, we will always go to church with LDS people. But, you know, Dylan and I, as kids, we didn't know the difference. Like, we're just going to church.
Right.
Like, we don't know which church. We just know we have to wake up on Sunday at, like, 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go to church at the time. But my aunt is waking us up to go to church. And when it came, like I said, when it came full circle, I was like, oh, now it makes sense. This is the faith that I was going to church with these people from a long time ago. And these are the greatest people that I've ever come across. It's a couple of dudes that go, Ethan Calvert, he plays linebacker at the U, but these are some of the coolest people, nicest people, most genuine, most giving people that I've met my whole life. So once I came up here and I got that same type of energy, it was like, oh, just because I'm not a part of the church, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
Because these people are so gracious, so humble, so giving, so loving, so caring. And then my family and I are like that as well. Like, I'm Christian, and I do Bible study with my family every Sunday. So, same values, just different denomination. But Yeah.
You know, it brings up something that I wanted to ask you about. And you did a day in the life video mm-hmm. at Big 12 Media Day.
Yep.
And I was watching that, and you said something in that that really stood out and impressed me. And you were talking about how important it was and how grateful you were that they had asked you to do this and that you were there in Dallas representing yourself, your teammates, university. But you also said you were happy to be there representing the church. And as we mentioned, as someone who is not a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I was impressed that it was important to you mm-hmm. that you represented the church well. Why was that aspect important to you?
I think coming here to BYU, I feel like it's a two-way street. It's not a transactional relationship. It's a two-way street to me. The church represents me so well by allowing me to go out there and perform and have a great time and go to school and be around great people and be able to make good friends and be able to network within the confinements of people of the church. Like, a lot of the people that I come across are a part of the church that they could tell somebody across the world, oh, yeah, Cody Epps is a good guy. I got a job. I have a new friend. I have just their face card and their ability to, you know, put my name out there. I'm so grateful for that. So why not give that back in any way that possible? So I always want to, you know, pay the church back essentially by making it a great impact for the people that don't know necessarily about the church. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm not a part, people are like, whoa, like, this is kind of weird. But I feel like it's a relationship that I have with the people of the church that make me want to represent them well because they represent me so well.
Well, and you have thrived here, and mm-hmm. you enjoy your time here. Like, you've been to General Conference, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's the Elder Epps, and, you know, like you have fun with it, and you embrace it. Mm-hmm. Why is that part important to you? Because you've absolutely nailed that part of it, and you really have become very much a part of this university.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I will be shorthanding myself if I didn't fully embrace it.
Yeah.
The 45-year-old Cody Epps would have a lot of regret and a lot of frustration with the fact that his younger self didn't embrace this whole experience and didn't indulge himself and embed himself completely into this experience. I think, why not go all in? It's pointless not to.
Yeah.
Because I think, so I have a mentor, Casey Ball, and we always talk about the willingness to put 2 cents in and get 1 cent back. I feel like the position that I'm in here at BYU, I know for a fact I'm going to put 100 million cents in and I'm going to get 300 gazillion cents back just because of how I embrace the people and how I care so much about this experience and how gracious and blessed I am to truly be in the shoes that I'm in right now. And I know the fans of, I know Cougar Nation, the administration, the people that are just a part of the church that just love BYU football just because it's their church's football team,
right.
Are going to embrace me for the rest of their lives and the rest of my life. So I think it's just so pivotal for me to be able to fully engage in everything that I'm into in my life, especially being here at BYU, because I know it's going to mean so much more to the younger people coming up and to the kid that isn't LDS that decides to go to BYU. He has something to look forward to and a reference point to look at,
yeah,
to say, I can embrace myself into this community and it's going to embrace me 100 million times more than I could ever give. So
when you committed to BYU, what was the reaction of your family and friends when you said, you know what, BYU is a school for me?
So my grandma was ecstatic because MOTAP. That's all she knew about it.
Yep.
She knew about
it's important.
Yeah. She knew about the choir. That's the first thing she ever talked about. And I think that's the only thing she really knew about it was the MOTAP.
Yeah.
My family was so happy. My mom and dad and my uncle, dude, they loved Coach Fessy to death. Like, they were, you would have thought my mom was signing to BYU, how happy she was that Coach Fessy was, like, recruiting me. He was my wide receiver coach.
Mm-hmm.
She was just so, just the way he took care of us, the way he handled us, the way he approached me as a person, player, and all those things. We just loved it so much. So my family was all hands on deck, all on board. Of course, I got, you know, random classmates telling me weird stuff like, dude, you can't drink coffee. And I'm like, dude, I don't even drink coffee, brother. Like, dude, you can't smoke. I don't smoke. Like, these are things that I wasn't already doing that you guys are coming up to
me. You're following the honor code before you had to actually sign it.
And this is my thing about the honor code. This is my thing about the honor code. I personally believe that if you believe in a faith, you already have an honor code. BYU just makes you legally sign one on a document when you come to BYU. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that he died for our sins, and if you believe that we do have a higher power, you live by honor code anyway. So even as an athlete, I'm not going to do tobacco because, dude, I have to be able to play at a high level for my sport. I've never been into coffee. I don't even know. You could get caffeine so many other ways. Like, and I'm not, I don't want to sound like I'm bad mouthing anybody that has ever drank coffee or does any of those things. I'm just saying for me personally, those weren't things that intrigued me in the first place. So it wasn't really a big deal for me at all.
Yeah.
So, which it can be a big deal for people that have done it before, but for me, it's not, you know, those things never really crossed my mind. So I'm like, okay, you're telling me this for what? Like, you're scaring me from stuff I'm already not doing.
Yeah.
So
we've talked about a lot of the stuff off the field. From an on-the-field perspective, how has your experience at BYU been? I know, you know, nobody ever wants to think that, oh, maybe there's going to be injuries. You've had to deal with some injuries, but you're healthy now. And I know everybody's super excited about, you know, having a healthy Cody Epps. Yeah. How has the actual football been here at BYU?
It's been ups and downs. I feel like the football part is the hardest part. Life outside of football is the easy part. I feel like football on the field stuff is brutal just because you're competing. In any sport, people don't talk about this a lot. For me especially, I'm not competing against anybody else's clock or anybody else around me or any other team. Cody Epps is competing between his own conscience in between my two ears. That's what I'm competing against constantly. And it can be pretty frustrating just because when you do drop a pass or you do get hurt and you can't participate in practice or you do miss a block or you do not make the play that you should be making, I get so hard on myself. So it can be brutal for me just because, like, you know what I'm saying, coming from Modern Day, it's these high expectations for myself. It's these things that I know that I can accomplish. It can be frustrating. Like, when I came in as a freshman, I was, you know, doing pretty good the first fall camp, and then I pulled my hamstring, and then, you know, those reps that I missed out on kind of pushed me back a little bit. So it's just hard to get back going.
Yeah.
Once the team is going, once the, you know, the coaches are happy and everybody's rolling, you know, you're kind of competing with yourself to figure things out, you know? And I think the biggest thing that I've been able to, I know this is going to mean so much to my kids and my wife and my family, is just because things aren't going right for you, you have to be very conscientious and emotionally intelligent to how you can affect other people with the energy you bring into work every day.
Yeah.
And I think that's so big to me, just because I can be going through things, but like we just talked about before we started, like, people know me as a smiley, happy, goofy, laughing guy. So I have to be very conscientious about the days that I do want to come in sometimes and not talk or not smile as much. That is kind of who I am. So I can't not be that to my teammates, because if I come in and I'm not the Cody Epps that they want, that could throw somebody off. That could throw a Talmadge Gunther off. That can throw a Parker Kingston off. That can throw a Keelan, a Kibo, a Chase Roberts off. When they go do a play and stuff and they can feel my energy is off, their energy starts to get off. So the biggest thing for me is being an energy giver and not an energy taker, which is what Coach Arod talks about a lot. And I want to be so thankful to this experience and this path on the football field that I'm gracious to learn that and how to work through that.
We are all products of everything that's happened to us during our lives, mm-hmm. good and bad. How has your life and your life experiences molded you into the person that you are today?
It was the saying, a skilled sailor doesn't always have clear water or something like that. Isn't there a saying about a skilled sailor has to have gone through treacherous waters
right.
to be the skilled sailor that he is?
Yeah.
All of us continuously are dealing with adversity every single day. And I feel like the way that I look at my adversity is, how can I get through this every single day? In every single month, every single week, you know, you go through patches of like weeks of not feeling happy or like not feeling at your best self. You go through months. Some people go through a whole year. And I feel like some things that I've went through, obviously, is always comes back to sports just because I'm doing it so much and just because it's so competitive. I think missing out on football, I went through months of dropping passes. Those are all things that I look at as microcosms of life.
Mm-hmm.
If I get laid, hopefully this never happens, but if I got laid off from work one day, that's like missing football, missing a season. If I had an assignment that I had to complete for my team, for my job, and I dropped the ball on that, that's the equivalent of dropping a pass that your quarterback throws to you. These are things that relate to life outside of football. So I think little things like that, and, of course, being, you know, from inner city Los Angeles, going through that adversity, and then going to private school, dealing with school, the toughness of rigorous courses, has kind of molded me to be who I am in this chair today.
When you look down the road, what's the future hold for you, do you think?
You know, it's funny. A lot of people say they can't wait to see who I'm going to become when I'm older. Like, they look forward. Nobody knows what I'm going to be or what the job description will be. And I used to have an idea, like, I want to be in the NFL. Like, I want to own companies. I honestly have no clue. Like,
it kind of makes it exciting, though, doesn't it?
It makes it super ultra exciting, but it's super – perspective is everything, because sometimes I could get anxious about it. Like, what am I going to be? Because I don't like to sit at a desk a lot. I like to travel. I like to talk to people. So it's like, what is it going to be? All I know is right now my goals are focused on being the best football player that I can be with my football team and, you know, handling business here. But I don't know what the future holds for me. I really don't. I have no idea.
Well, you can count me as one that can't wait to find out what it holds for you. I'll fall into that category as well. Because look. You can tell to a certain degree when you talk with people and you kind of get a sense about them. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to be successful at it. I have no doubt in my mind about that.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of thank you so much for doing this. Mm-hmm. This was an absolute blast. I have enjoyed talking to you in the past and thoroughly enjoyed getting to know a little bit more about you. You have embraced BYU and Cougar Nation. And I know that BYU and Cougar Nation has embraced you as well. So thank you so much for doing this today. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks once again to my guest, Cody Epps. My name is Jason Shepherd. Thank you for listening to Deep Blue. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.